Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Digital High Podcast. This is Donna with you, and always joining me is Vince. Hey, Vince.
Hello.
Hey. And also with us are...
Well, is that like you're going to say, hey, girlfriend? Just snap your fingers.
Hey, Vince.
You missed me that much.
I did. I missed you so much. Yeah. I ache.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do we want to know where you ache at?
Yeah, my head, my ass. A pain in the ass, pain in the head.
Well, if I made your ass hurt, that's a different
stuff. No. Stay away from there. Anyway, we are glad to have our special guests with us, Chris and Kelly Brown from the Married Gamers Podcast. Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hey.
You know, I have to say, I was a little concerned when Lefty walked up to the house with what he said to me.
What?
Well, he walks up to the house to me and he goes, so I'm talking to a pilf.
That's a private joke.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Vince knows what pilfs are.
Yeah, now I know.
He knows.
I just was like, what? Huh?
Vince wants to fast track his way onto your number one pilf.
I don't like hearing that term. It's such a weird term to hear.
I've never seen a picture sounds like of events though.
Like it sounds like a strange fart.
I just pilfed in the corner. Excuse me, I just Vince, we go to the corner so I can pill.
Yeah.
All right. 30 seconds in, we're already derailing the show. Yeah.
Vince looks like Jace from Gears of War.
No, I don't.
Yes, he does.
You're just saying that because I said you look like the mannish redhead woman from Gears of War.
And thank you for that, Vince, since I'm not mannish or a redhead. But no, Vince, you look like Jace because he's got the braids and he's got the mustache. And he's African American.
Okay, those are the only things it takes.
When I saw the picture of you and I saw Jace, I'm like, dude, that looks like Vince.
Okay, but moving on.
Yes, moving on. We just like invited Chris and Kelly to the show like 10 minutes ago because
we didn't even know we were doing a podcast today.
Yeah. Yeah. But
they podcast?
Yeah. And but we decided to do an impromptu Xbox podcast because of the big news today with them changing their minds on the DRM and the restrictions with used games, etc. And so here we are, and Vince says, hey, do you know anybody who can join us? And I looked up and I saw, hey, Chris is on Skype, let's ask him. So, and wherever Chris is, the lovely Kelly is too. So,
I mean, can we get a quick preview on like what you three thought of it before? Because I was on the RE3 podcast and Donna wasn't there, so they kind of have my thoughts on it. Maybe so, can we hear like your three thoughts? Like what you thought it as far as the Xbox reveal and at the E3 time before this news, like 4 or 5 hours ago.
Go for it.
But you know, it was interesting when the news came out. I actually was listening to Game Hound's podcast, who was doing their after hours show, and they were just, you know, kind of basically bullshitting with each other. And I was like, hey guys, wait, in their chat room, I'm like, hey guys, there's gonna be a news announcement, and I guess Xbox like released it and then pulled it back real fast. People were like showing snippets of things over Twitter, and so a lot of people were like talking about it, but then people were going to the Xbox blog and going, there's nothing there. So how in the hell do people know what people are talking about? And then I want to say maybe 5 minutes later was when it was finally up. And I quickly sent the link to Chris, who was at work, because I didn't know if he was going to have a chance to see it. And the first thing Chris said to me is, well, there went us being able to share video games with each other.
And I said, and now I can share video games with my friends.
But who does that? Like post high school?
Well, I do all the time.
You could still under the, what do we call it? The old Xbox One idea? You still could share with 9 other people.
Right. But there was going to be a fee attached.
No, it's called Xbox Live Gold.
Right. Well, there's Xbox Live Gold, but the way I understood it is that you were, I mean, you could share games with friends, but right. after so many times, like there was restrictions on that though. You're going to be charged a fee, correct?
All of that was kind of murky.
Before. I thought so too.
It was like you they had to be on your friends list for at least 30 days and you could play when you had it and a whole bunch of BS. That was the main problem. It was unclear and just downright stupid. That's why they got rid of
it. That was different from, you know, your friends and family list, that in which you could have 9 other people on your quote unquote family account, and with those people you could share the games. Mm-hmm. You know, much like PS3 had or Sony had the one, you know, where people could share with what was it, 2 other people. You know, it was somewhat like that. You know, that was some of the benefits of the DRM system. Mm-hmm. Was that because it verified that you own these things, then it could make sure that people attached to your account also have access to it. Mm-hmm. Now, under the old Xbox One rules, it even included 2 people being able to play the same game at the same time, which is I thought was ideal, because you know anyone with kids, with more than 1 kids, you know, if they're playing, you know, if they each have an Xbox in their room and they're playing, you know, Halo Online or Watch Dogs or you know whatever, they can play it at the same time, and mom and dad doesn't have to pay $120 for a game. They just have to play the $60.
Yeah. I mean, they still might do something like that down the line. If you get it digitally, they might be like their incentive.
But there has to be a way to verify that. That's the problem. So that with Microsoft taking this listening to people's voices and taking the step back, there are some things that they can't do, you know. Mm-hmm. So now,
does that mean you were disappointed? Like, so were you more excited for the Xbox One a week ago than today?
No, I was given pause at the E3 presentation. You know, my main concern was that of the consumers, and mm-hmm. you know, and when it came to people having the ability to resell their games, there was that pathway with, you know, having partners, you know, with Microsoft being able to do it, but nothing was said about like eBay or even yard sales. That's the part that had me concerned. I'm perfectly fine with DRM. I've been using Steam for forever, and I like that system. You know, it's a way of making sure that I own on the content. You know, there's this irrational fear of someday. You know, someday they're going to turn off the lights. I mean, I won't have my games. Well, someday, you know, I'll use this analogy. I work in a library. That's my job. And as you know, everything's going digital. And mm-hmm. so several years ago, when a lot of journals and magazines and stuff went digital, in terms of we can subscribe to them digitally, but don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it coming in print. There was this fear: what happens if the companies providing this go belly up? Well, several years down the line, that becomes a commodity. That information becomes a commodity. No matter, even if they went belly up, someone else would be able to provide it because there is that service. So, in terms of the Xbox One policies, later down the line, if Microsoft turned off the lights, I'm sure someone else would come along and be able to provide that service, whether it be the publishers themselves or whatnot, you know. And even there are even things that Xbox themselves could do in down to the end of the life. But we're talking about a console that has, you know, hasn't even come out. We don't, you know, it probably has another 10 years or more life in it, you know. And on top of that, the 360 is still going to be supported for at least 5 more years. You know, it's just this irrational fear, you know. I sort of likened it to, you know, the people who think that Obama's forming death panels or, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's sort of like irrational fears about things.
But I get why people were bothered by it, because one, you have to kind of trust that Microsoft will have sales like Steam does. And, right. And I think that's right there is a pretty big amount of trust. Like if Microsoft had came out and had such open and good communications that, hey, most of our games are going to be $40, $50. If you go through the store, we're saving you money. If you don't have to go through like Best Buy or, you know, wherever else, they didn't make a case for it. They just came out and said, hey, we want you to do this. So you're doing it. Bend over. And in Sony, the reason why they got such cheers last week, because they didn't change anything. This is what they didn't change anything, and people loved them for it last week because they didn't ask us to bend over. And at the very least, Microsoft could have explained why, and they didn't.
Right.
Well, see, that's the problem here. You know, the message got away from them. They started out with a muddled message after the unveiling. And the story got away from them. And piled on that, there just seems to be, like in the past year, people just like to bitch about Microsoft. They I don't have a fucking start button on my OS anymore. You know, well, hello. Okay, great. You know what? Guess what? Microsoft is still listening to you, Mr. Irrational person out there. In Windows 8.1 coming later this year, you're going to have a fucking start button again. Well, you know, it's just this. Microsoft is a responsible manufacturer. You know, just, you know, Sony too. You know, I can't take away from Sony. Sony did a great job, mm-hmm. you know, piling the shit, you know, on Microsoft after the fact. But it's just it just irks me that it just feels like. Like that segment on Saturday Night Live, you know, where that Sith goes, really? Really?
Yeah.
This is what you're bitching about? Having to have that Kinect, you know, with your wow. Xbox? Oh, really?
That's another thing. When I was reading the list of what they changed, that was one of the things I was hoping that was on there. It's another thing that just doesn't have any benefit for us. Like, why does the Kinect have to be hooked up to the Xbox One? Like, I get that it ships with it, but the idea that Xbox won't work if it's unplugged makes no sense.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's just I'm stepping on. I hear the sighs.
No, I'm not sighing because you're talking. I'm glad you're talking. That's me with my thoughts in my head that I'll bring out later. By all means, go on.
Okay, I'm just saying, just because it's plugged in doesn't mean it's like you're actively using it. You know, you're still.
But I don't know what they're doing.
You're gonna watch.
That's the point. I don't know what. Just like I have a webcam my computer's in my bedroom. Everything's in my bedroom. But when I have my webcam plugged into my computer, I still have it turned toward the wall. Or just like my sister and her Mac, she has tape. On the built-in. Camera. You just don't know. There are hackers who watch women change clothes through their webcam. I mean, that is a thing. That is a subculture thing, because they get off on the voyeurism.
It's not happening over a console. It's not going to happen over a console.
Not yet. We don't know what Microsoft is doing themselves.
Because there's authenticating. There's, you know, even under that old system too with the DRM. You know, it's going to find out if you're modding an Xbox One.
Every system is going to get cracked sooner or later. What, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, everyone's bitching at Sony for PSN getting hacked. I think that's another thing. Like, just as far as people saying, oh, it's too little, too late, that was a lot of comments I read on different sites. People aren't going to remember this in 2 months. People don't remember hating Steam. People don't remember PSN getting hacked and everyone hating Sony. People don't remember the bird flu is going to fucking kill us, or the pig flu is going to kill us a couple years ago. Like, people do not remember things at all. So I think that was a smart decision by Microsoft by saying it now instead of closer to launch, because no one's going to remember this at launch other than, you know, the angry Sony fanboys and, you know, game enthusiasts in general. But I don't think average Joe knew these rules were in place to begin with, and they don't know that they're gone now.
But I don't think Microsoft's going to allow those things to happen. I mean, Microsoft knows, you know, you're talking about Sony being hacked. Well, Microsoft doesn't want to allow that to happen because it happened with a competitor. Therefore, they're going to put into effect things that will not allow that to happen to their console.
I mean, I don't think they want it to happen, but they didn't want the Red Rings to happen. Sony didn't want PSN to get hacked. It's not what they want, it's what might happen. And as far as, like, I mean, Microsoft themselves, like, you know, there are cases like old listening devices and all this other stuff. It's just a creepy that this microphone and webcam have to be on your Xbox 24/7, even when you're not using it. If you unplug it, your Xbox won't.
Okay, I'm just going to set this straight right now because I don't want bad information going out there. Microsoft has clear policies on privacy of consumers. If they're recording something, if they're seeing something, you, the consumer, are the first to know, and you have to allow it, whether it be signing a user agreement to use Xbox Live, or if it's asking, it will ask permission. The Kinect is not going to secretly record you, you know, smoking drugs, you know, and then forward it to your local DEA. I will just say too, this is the same company that is resisting the attempts of our federal government to use FISA and to snoop and sneak on people. Right. You know, this is a company that cares about your privacy. And it gets me really upset when people say, oh, the Kinect's going to secretly record people.
It's not. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying it could. I don't know what will happen. I'm not saying it will or it won't. And I wouldn't put too much faith or trust into any billion-dollar company or even million-dollar company, because at the end of the day, it's about the money. I mean, Google makes a lot of its money by selling or, you know, collecting data on people. Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, then why are you willing to even buy a computer that has a camera in it? You're saying that you're not willing to put your faith into any million or billion dollar company, why are you willing to buy?
Not faith as in they have my best intentions. I'm not going to like blindly believe that. In my webcam is unplugged when I'm not using it. So.
Right. Well,
my computer won't explode if I unplug it, so I don't care.
Well, see, and my thing
won't explode either.
Yeah. My thing isn't that I never thought that I was going to be spied on at all with the Kinect. The Kinect's a different issue. I don't care that the Kinect is attached because I'll probably use it, but I don't know. I don't see how we should have to get it, I guess, if we weren't going to be using it, but that wasn't my gripe. And let's keep in mind that I was going to buy both consoles anyway, so regardless of what was going to happen, I was going to own both consoles. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm a super fanboy of either one, fangirl of either one. This is just how I see it. What I don't trust is that, I'm seeing a lot of people saying, oh, this was a mistake because games would have come down in price. Now that they've switched this, that's going to keep the prices of games up. And I don't know. That's all speculation. And I think that if Microsoft really intended to lower prices of games, they would have made sure that everybody saw, they would have highlighted that shit in neon yellow.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're that's not going to happen. And they're like, oh, but it could have. Well, it could have.
It could, but
it seems to me that if that was something that was truly on the radar for them, they would have said so. Okay, so there's that. I don't like that I wouldn't be able to like rent a game, for example.
Right. Yeah.
I got into not an argument, a debate, healthy debate earlier on this, and it just to me, the whole used product thing is a crappy reason to for any of this, because people buy used products all the time. It doesn't affect the car industry. I think, Vince, you've said that before, right? You're like, you don't hear Toyota saying, oh, God damn it, people are buying used cars. and I know for a fact that I've rented a game. The first Ratchet & Clank game, I bought that game used. Now, everybody here knows I'm a Ratchet & Clank fangirl. So when I played that first game, and now I buy Ratchet & Clank games brand new day one on the day of release. So there is benefit to renting games. And the fact that was going to be something that was going to be, you were going to have to jump through hoops to do, I thought was pretty anti-consumer.
Yeah,
I did.
And the thing is, they do sell those games to the store, so they are making some money. And at least for me, I imagine most people who rent specific titles, if they weren't available to rent, that I just wouldn't play them at all. Right. Like, it's not like I was going to pay $60, but you know what? I can rent it and keep it for a month. And then, you know, you're not getting my money directly. It's either I could have rented it or I could have not played it at all. So at least, you know, if I thought Gears of War 1 was kind of iffy, I rented it, I liked it. Then I bought 2 and 3 because I like the series now. Like, kind of like what you did with Ratchet. Like, that's not what happened. But I'm saying that it can definitely be a type of gateway drug. Or it could just be like, I wanted to try out. You know, and this actually happened. Like, Defiance looked iffy. I rented it. I was like, okay, this is actually for what it is. But for an MMO third person shooter, like, this is not terrible. I could see myself buying this when it goes on sale. So down the line, Defiance might get my money. But if I couldn't have rented it, it never would have gotten anything.
Right. Exactly. And I don't know. I think that what we have to focus on. Really, is that okay? Of course, we're not going to make everybody happy. Nobody's going to be happy all of the time. But I think that right now, people see the, and I work in the industry. So, you know, I'm not saying that I read this from communities all the time. People feel like the gaming companies have all the power. If you buy a game and it sucks, you can't return that game. And people are sick of that.
So I think that's a dumb complaint, though. You don't think that's dumb? Are you?
No, I think it's fair. Because,
no, how's that? Like, if I buy a bad movie, can I say, hey, I want to take this Blu-ray back?
I'm not talking about a matter of opinion. I'm talking about, I should have clarified that. Like, with all the Diablo 3 crap, my husband bought Diablo 3, and he had the problems where he couldn't get online because they didn't have, because it was always online. Even though he wanted to play single player, he had to be online. So all the servers took a shit on him. He couldn't play. And after a couple of weeks of that, he's like, you know what? I'm never going to get into this game. I want to return this game. This is crap. They weren't prepared for me to play this game.
Mm, yeah.
How come they're not prepared for me to play this game? I want my money back on this game. Too bad.
Yeah.
You have to eat it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
You know, can I say something about that? There could have been a better solution. And then this is what disappoints me. I'm happy that the company that I do really like listens to its consumers. Sure. I'm glad that exchange is happening. However, I felt that there could have been a halfway point. There could have been a better idea in the room that they would have ran with. Something that would have said, okay, instead of once every 24 hour checking for ownership, we can do that once every week. And you as a consumer, when you set up your Xbox One, decide what day of the week it's going to check that. Or they could have gone the route of, okay, if it's when you get the game, you know, they'll go back to the old days of, you know, enter in your key and that proves your proves your ownership, you know, and if you're trading a game, then you trade in the key, and you know, or you can't trade in the game, you know, to a retailer, you know, there could have been other ideas that would have still preserved some of the unique features of the Xbox One, but as it stands right now, consumers aren't ready for that. They're right. fearful of that. And because of that, the Xbox One loses some of that uniqueness that really appealed to me.
Right. The thing is that I'm fearful of is that I'm not going to have any say if there's another screw up with a game. And also, I also know people, and you know, and Vince is going to laugh, I know, but you know, I live in Reno, and yes, there's the internet here, Vince, there's a lot of rural areas here.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend who lives in California in a very rural area. She has very limited internet access, very, very limited internet access. Mm. And she was going to have to, completely switch from Xbox to PlayStation. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I think there's something like 6% of the American population doesn't have regular internet, you know, so there's that issue too.
Well, the thing that frustrates me is this is a forward thinking company. This was the company that gave us, you know, in the Xbox One, a cable connection so we can connect to multiplayer gaming, you know, through at a greater success rate than over a phone modem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone thought they were crazy then, but they did it and things changed. And so, and other companies adopted that thing. And now this is saying, oh, I'm sorry, this is too much for us. You know,
I mean,
you're handling it wrong.
I think that's apples and oranges, because with it having an Ethernet cable, there's no bad. There's no negative on the consumer. With the whole 24 hours thing, that does cut out a lot of people in America and just globally. And that kind of comes from their elitism, and it almost felt like I was watching the Microsoft conference like some Tea Party conference. Like it was very like us, and if you don't like it, go get a 360. Like if you don't want to vote for us,
and what is so wrong with not with having a 360? I fucking love my 360.
You don't see how that's belittling, insulting.
I don't have Instagram on my Windows phone. That doesn't make me go out and say, damn it, I demand Instagram on my Windows phone immediately, you know. It's not fair.
That would be like if Sony said, if you don't have an HD TV, stick with the PS2. Like, that's just an asshole thing to say.
I kind of think so, in a sense.
That's what they did, in a sense. You know, if you don't have the things to go up to the next gen, you know, we still have a great system that we're going to, and time and time at E3s, they said, we're still supporting the PS2. I still remember.
But no one wants to play those games and when the new stuff comes out.
That's the facts. There's people that saying, I really want to get the iPhone 5, but you know, I'm locked into a 2-year contract. You know, things like that, you know, that's just the way of life.
I don't know. But thankfully,
the 360 is still a powerful machine, a fantastic device. And you know what? It plays some mighty good games, including games that are still going to be coming out in years to come.
But when people were watching E3 last week, they say, I want to play Titanfall. I want to play Dead Rising 3. Mm-hmm. I want to play, you know, this and that. And some of that stuff, like Destiny, is this gen. But a lot of that, like Division and like and some of the higher stuff, isn't next gen. So Microsoft is basically saying, screw yourself. And the thing is like, what about the like new and emerging markets like India and like Brazil and these other places, speaking globally? Like, would Microsoft's old plan, Japan doesn't like them because they're American, so Japan is out, so they really could have just struck with certain parts of Europe, Canada, and United States. And just overall, it seems like a dumb plan in itself. So you're just basically giving Sony the rest of the world.
Mm. Well, at that point, it becomes about the games. You know, there's going to be, you know, Titanfall, I think, is going to be the next huge Gears of War. You know, and for those people who don't have access to internet yet, eventually they're going to. You know, it's the way of things. Who knows what that internet structure is going to be in the next 2 years.
The one thing that I think about with that, and I know that both you and I are not huge proponents of the military, but think about those people who do are in the military and don't have internet.
Well, if you don't have internet, you can't even buy an Xbox One to begin with, because you have to have the internet to set up the Xbox. You have to have internet to at least somehow to set up your Xbox 360.
They're playing 360. They're playing single player
games now. Because when they do have access to internet,
correct. They do what I'm saying is now with the changes, they can play because it doesn't have to be the always on. When it was always connected, they weren't going to be able to get the Xbox One.
It doesn't have to be. It has to be connected. So when it checks your thing every 24 hours,
correct. But if let's say you're a Navy officer and you're on a boat. If you have an Xbox 360, you can have it because when you're in port, you check in.
Well, under the new system, they can.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. With the old one,
there's a lot of things that our servicemen and women have to go without because of their service.
I know. I'm just saying.
But why add something else to the list?
Because a lot of them use this
because that's the way
to connect the family.
But
that's the
way there was no Xbox benefit for us, though. Like, I get what you're
saying. Of course, there was a benefit.
So, basically, like, you're kind of against this because of the whole, like, you can't play games and share them with your wife. Like, is that the main reason, or is there other
reasons? To be able to share games with not only myself, but 9 other people is a fantastic thing. And we can play woulda, coulda, shoulda, but one of the things I've heard is, it could lead to cheaper games because things are more secure and whatnot. I would have hoped that Microsoft would have, kept this original system and worked with various people like various companies like Redbox and Gamefly and develop a way in which renting games could still be accomplished, but it just seems like they took the easy way, and so I'm disappointed.
I think Donna and I both pre-ordered both systems during the conference day last Monday on Amazon. Right now, I still have both of them pre-ordered. I was always going to only get one November, maybe get the other one like February, March. Because of this news, I'm leaning way more towards Xbox. I just know PS3 launch title I want to play. So I do want to play Dead Rising 3. So, I mean, just to go back to the games, like, that's the main reason I'll probably get an Xbox this holiday. And then when Infamous comes out in February, March, or whenever, I'll get the PS4. But I mean, I think this is a lot of the comments were like, consumers won today and all this other stuff. I actually agree with that. I think it might be more they looked at the pre-order numbers, not so much the outrage. I think their pre-order numbers might not have been as great as they expected. Cause, well, yesterday game stops
sure
at their out.
Very little. Yeah, I'm sure that has very little to do with it. I think it was more the getting back onto getting control of that story again. There was an outrage, and anything that Marcus, even look, after announcing these new ways the Xbox One will work, everyone's like, oh, well, it's too late. Oh, Microsoft. Oh.
Yeah, but those are trolls.
You backtracked, Well, it's the same people who are trying to, were practicing the hate Microsoft rants in the first place.
I hate that stuff too.
I have no, let me be clear too. I have nothing wrong with this with the PS4. Like you two, it's going to be a fantastic console, and it's going to have some fantastic games and other services you can do on it. I'm just saying, if you're locked into an Xbox, I thought the Xbox One was going to continue adding great experiences, and some of that will still exist under this new policy. Being able to run several things at the same or two things at the same time, I think, is a feature that's still going to be in there. Of course, you have your better graphics and stuff. What I need to know about now is what publishers are going to have to do under this, because if we have a game like Destiny or even a game like that uses a lot of graphics like Battlefield 4, where they're drawing upon the servers now, the cloud servers, Is that still going to be available? And my feeling is that's going to be pushed on, you know, the publishers now, and they're going to have to be very clear in their packaging in saying that if you buy this game, you have to have this online because it requires this sort of stuff. So they don't have that. Well, you know, Microsoft said I don't have to be online. Now all of a sudden I do.
I don't think they'll do that. I think it'll be more like you have the option to install a game, but the equivalent of that, and I guess the equivalent of that next year might be if you want, you know, if you want the, I forgot what Forza called their crazy AI system.
Drivatar,
which isn't. Yeah, but yeah, they might say like if you want to actually have that feature, you have to be online. If when you go offline, you can't use it, or it might be something like that.
But they're also doing magic stuff too, like building in graphics and stuff. That's, you know, graphics and other things in the cloud that, you know, is running while you're online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just having your presence exist. Your presence exists online while you're gone. Hey, I can see clear up in the mountains because, you know, instead of pulling stuff off my Blu-ray disc or on my machine, it's streaming that through the cloud. You know, that sort of stuff. You know, that's work. That's development work that goes on for months and months and months. They can't just all of a sudden say, oh, whoops, Microsoft's now not saying you have to, you can be offline for everything. Yeah, I guess we'll just flip this button and everything will be fine. You know, there's going to be people who want to play Battlefield 4 and don't have access to internet thinking everything will be fine. But when they put it in and it's trying to draw and it needs to draw things from the cloud, you know, they have to be informed that that's still going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it might be like different versions of not different versions, but like different features. Like I said before, like you turn this on, or you turn it off. As, at least for the games that they've already done that for. And I still think down the line, Microsoft will say like it might have like the deals and all this other stuff. And if you buy games digitally, they might eventually like 4 or 5 years down the road say like, hey, we have the 24-hour check-in, you get cheaper games. It just eventually move towards that future instead of just telling us day one you have to do it and not giving us any benefits for it, which is like the main problem.
I disagree. I think you did have a lot of benefits for it,
but they didn't tell us any. When did they
sure
tell,
they did.
Like what did Microsoft actually say
at E3? Yeah, you and your friends and family will have access to this stuff. You know, that's incredible.
That's not a big deal to me personally, but
to others, there's a lot of gaming families out there that all of a sudden, you know, although all those thousands of Rock Band, you know, this is, you know, if there was a Rock Band 5 or 4 out in the future, you know, if you buy all these tracks, then no matter what room you're playing Rock Band in, you know, you can have those tracks shared within anyone who's in your family.
That's such a first world problem, though. I don't think that's a big deal. I think the 24 hour check-in is a way bigger deal than that. We're still having the discussion.
Oh, no internet. That's a first world problem.
No, I think that's saying like, oh, that's kind of being snooty. It's like, oh my God, who doesn't have high speed internet? If you don't have it, you might as well just stick with last gen. Like that. That's why that's such a belittling comment. This is why people got pissed off at, I think it was Don Matrick who said it.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's very snobbish.
I don't know. I think that the whole first world problem thing is, I mean, we're talking about which very expensive gaming.
Exactly.
So, you know.
But one problem is a way more champagne than the other. We're talking about why can't little Billy and Sarah play, you know, the Xbox One games in different rooms of the houses on their HDTVs compared to why can't so-and-so in rural California or Alabama play the Xbox at all? Like, I don't think those are anywhere near the same level.
I think those are both first world problems as compared to, I don't know, child labor in India. I think, you know, let's get real here. You know, both.
Well,
you
yeah, know, compared to America's survival very type things. But I'm just saying, as far as having bonus features compared to I can't play it at all, are two different things.
then tell me, what is so wrong about saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry you don't have all these things to enable you to play with on the Xbox One, but we do have an Xbox 360 you can do these things on. What is so wrong with that view?
I mean, that's almost like they say, okay, cars are going to run on some new fuel that costs a lot. If you can't afford the new fuel, then just catch the bus. Like, that's the equivalent to me.
No, it's like, saying, the bus I'm is sorry.
You need to go.
I'm sorry.
No, you might get peed on. It might smell funny. You might have to wait a while. But the bus will take you where you need to go. But we're putting, I don't know, baby blood in our cars, and it costs too much. So you can't afford it.
No. This is what it's saying. You can. I'm sorry you can't. You can't have access to the Ferrari. But here's this really good vehicle instead that will get you from A to B.
Yeah, but I don't never see it. Right, and to me it's like, okay, everybody's been driving this Pontiac and now we're going to make a Jag and I'm so sorry that you can't have this now. You know, just stick with the console that's not going to have all the really cool games in a year or so. Just you do that because you don't matter. Games.
It's still do you guys hate your 360? What do you guys primarily game on?
Well, right now my 360 because my PlayStation's broke.
Yeah, so, I'm playing The Last of Us right now, but mainly 360.
So you would say that the 360 is a really good device
right now?
Of course.
Not in 2 years,
right?
Exactly. It's going to continue to be a really good device.
No, I don't think so. I think EA games might still come on.
You're still going to be able to play Halo 4 on it.
I want to play Halo 5 on.
I stopped playing Halo 4 in November. I don't want to play it now.
Well, those things happen. You know, people who are on iPad next month they're not going to be able to play Halo Spartans that's coming to Windows 8 or on Windows Phone. But you know that's just the way things go.
I don't know. It just
speaking
seems,
of going.
Yeah, I know. I do have to go, and I'm sorry that I have to go already.
Let me say I've enjoyed this very spirited.
I like it too.
Day. You know, I wish we did have more time. And yeah, for those listening, you know, I have no ill will to Donna or Vince. You know, I respect what they're saying and there's a difference of opinion that, and you know, I respect your guys' views as well,
and vice versa. And that's why it's good that we had you on, because if everybody agreed, it would have been more boring.
Yeah, I didn't think we would ever be able to find anyone who thought this was negative. So I'm glad you guys are on, because I thought everyone would be happy about this.
Yeah, but thanks for having us on.
Good. And if I can go and you guys can continue if you wish.
I think we've done a lot of our points, other than just saying, hey, you know, we're Chris and Kelly from The Married Gamers. You can catch us on The Married Gamers podcast or at themarriedgamers.net. And,
or our Facebook page.
Or our Facebook page, The Married Gamers over on Facebook. And thank you so much for having us on the show.
It was so last minute, but I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got this Skype message over my fantastic Windows phone, so I had to come to your beck and call, Donna.
Of course you did. Anything for Donna, the pill.
I just want to say for the record, I love my wife very much. Of course you
do. And Donna, I have to say it was really funny because when he said that, I'm like, what, you're talking to Paris?
That's awesome. Whom I still haven't met, and I need to realize that for myself. But
You need to come to Comic-Con. He'll be there.
I won't be at Comic-Con. So. Wah. Okay, well, Vince, I'm glad you thought about having this impromptu podcast. And
yeah, it was a little off topic, but I think we definitely, you know, still covered. Got some different views and everything in, so that was fun, interesting.
So, all right, well, thank you very much, you two, and you can find us at Entertainment Fuse on Facebook. It's Entertainment Fuse, and on Twitter it's Entertain Fuse. And I'm trying to think. I guess that's it. I'll cover my social media stuff next time because I have got to go.
So, all righty.
Thanks, guys. And
all right, thank you.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you guys. Bye.
You love me.
Bye. I don't love you.
I knew it.
Thank you.